History of the Maya, the Valley of Mexico, Teotihuacan, Zapotecs, and Monte Albán. Before we go to the Mayas, we have to talk about central Mexico a little bit, because we have tribes and civilizations that are there that are going to be trading with the pre-classic and classic period Maya before they are in turn taken over by others. So the variety of Mesoamerican landscape had a significant influence on the type of civilization that developed area by area. In parts of the region, such as the Valley of Mexico, where we're going to be going, and then the tropical rainforests of the Maya lands, the people of Mesoamerica were blessed with fertile soil, fed and protected by the land. They were nevertheless always at the mercy of drought and famines. The Maya and the Aztecs and their cultural predecessors, Tiwanakans, Zapotecs, Olmecs, and of course the Toltecs, were drawn into intense, spiritually charged relationships with the natural world. They saw the gods everywhere in the earth, crops that grew from it, the rain that fed the plants, the mountains where the rain clouds gathered, and the wind that carried the clouds to their fields. Now, in the first century BCE, a new power arose in the Valley of Mexico. Unknown builders laid out a magnificent city 30 miles northeast of Lake Texcoco, where the Aztecs would build their capital, Tenochtitlan. The imposing ruins of Teotihuacan so overwhelmed the Aztecs that they incorporated the site into their mythology as the place where the sun and the moon were created at the beginning of the current era, known as the fifth sun. They named it Teotihuacan, the place of the gods. Historians used the name Tiwanakos for the unidentified people who built Teotihuacan. The inhabitants of the Valley of Mexico thrived through trade with great Olmec civilization, exchanging highly prized local green obsidian and other goods for exotic bird feathers and seashells. In the first millennium BCE, the population of the Valley of Mexico grew rapidly, and two centers were established, one at Teotihuacan and the other at Xcuzlecu in the southwestern part of the valley, in an area now covered by southern part of Mexico City. But Xcuzlecu had an unhappy destiny, for it was situated close to an active volcano. In 100 BCE, the volcano erupted, destroying buildings and burying the fertile agricultural lands around the city beneath rock. This natural disaster sent waves of refugees traveling northeast from the wasteland, and Tiwanakans, they were able to take them in, and the city then expanded rapidly. By 1 AD, Tiwanakans had upwards of 40,000 inhabitants, and as many as 100,000 to 200,000 by 500 AD. At this point, it covered more than 8 square miles and was one of the largest cities in the world, far larger than London of that era, and remarkably, its growth was not haphazard, for its architects followed an established layout, created a landscape of man-made foothills and mountains with a powerful symbolic meaning for Mesoamerican peoples. Scholars believe that this was built an ancient site of religious significance and may have been a place of pilgrimage long before the construction of the towering Pyramid of the Sun and Pyramid of the Moon, and many centuries before the awe-inspiring Street of the Dead was laid out. The people of Teotihuacan appeared to have been cosmopolitan and have thrived as much by trade as by war. Around two-thirds of the vast population farmed the fields that surrounded the urban development, while others worked as potters, carving tools, ornaments, and weapons from volcanic obsidian glass. They may not have been known for their military prowess, but the Tiwanakos engaged in religious practices that were bloodthirsty in the extreme and had a lasting effect on the rites of the Mayan and the Aztec. At its height, the Tiwanakos' influence was felt throughout Mesoamerica and left the enduring, symbolic legacy in the creation of the evocative City of the Divine and a place of pilgrimage and worship. However, the people who took over after them were the Toltecs, and they referred to this site as the City of the Dead, as if it were cursed, and they did not go there. The Tiwanakans also built a dam so they could provide water for irrigation. Now, the other tribe we want to look at is the Zapotecs. Now, these people lived in the southern part of the Valley of Mexico, or the Oaxaca Valley, about 125 miles from the center of the Olmec power. So it's kind of between the Olmec and what is now Mexico City. At the height of this influence, which was about 1350 BCE, the people of southern Mexico, near the modern city of Oaxaca, constructed a ceremonial and possibly living center at San Jose Macote. They were clearly engaged in trade with the Olmec region, for archaeologists in San Jose have found turtle-shell drums, conch-shell trumpets from far north and east of the Gulf of Mexico. By 1000 BCE, the settlements in central area covered about 20 hectares, 50 acres, and boasted imposing temples and tall platforms of stone. What we know of religious and daily life at San Jose indicates that the city's inhabitants shared many features with the Olmecs and engaged in practices that would characterize Mesoamerican culture for centuries to come. Finds of fish spines suggest they practiced blood sacrifice, for these objects are known to have been used at Mayan sites for sacred rites of auto-sacrifice, the letting of a person's own blood. They were also, like the Olmec, initiates of the cult of the jaguar. They made pottery which was decorated with distinctive jaguar imagery that is associated with shamanism and the Aztec worship later of Tezcatlipoca. They understood the importance of measuring and marking passage of time, and by 600 BCE had begun to cut calendar symbols and early hieroglyphics at the site. Around 500 BCE, the peoples of the Oaxaca Valley region built a major center at what is known as Monte Albon. Laborers carried out a vast earthworks to construct a flattened mountaintop about 3/5 of a mile in length, raising stone pyramids, temples, and palaces around the vast ceremonial plaza. The site, which commands a magnificent view over the valley below, was probably a controlling point for trade between the Yucatan, central Guatemala, and, of course, the Valley of Mexico, was almost certainly built as a symbol of local power. It may also have been occupied only by the political and religious elite, while the bulk of the population lived below in the valleys. Monte Albán grew rapidly. By 200 BCE, as many as 15,000 people lived there. Buildings spread on a painstakingly terraced set of lands on adjoining hills. At the height of the city's size and prestige, in the period from 200 BCE to 200 AD, there were 15 residential areas, each with its own plaza. Scholars do not know for sure who founded Monte Albán, but by 200 BCE it was occupied and controlled by the Zapotec people, who had risen to preeminence in the region. Monte Albán thrived as the Zapotec capital for another 1,000 years. Its people traded with the merchants of the more powerful city of Teotihuacan in the northwest. By the 8th century AD, 25,000 people lived in Monte Albán, but in the following century, the city, which had endured for more than a millennium, declined rapidly in power. The city, or its Zapotec elite, lost its hold over the people, who appear to have spread into surrounding communities. So that is the groups and the situation before we go on to the Yucatan and the Maya. The sources for this are The Maya by Cole, The Civilization of the Maya by Anaquin, The Popo Vuh, In Search of the Maya by Brunhaus, Outline Dictionary of Mayan Glyphs by Gates, Incidents in the Travels of the Yucatan by Stevenson, New World Archaeology by Scientific American, Aztec and Maya by Phillips, Yucatan Before and After the Conquest by Delanda, Rise and Fall of the Maya by Mayan Civilization by Thompson, and Maya History and Religion by Thompson. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.